Welcome to As Cerebral Palsy, everyone. Today I have Jason, who is he has a disability in his own right. I had the privilege of listening to an interview that he did last night, just to get a feel for his voice, and I was shocked at what I found out. And he's agreed, because it's public knowledge, he's agreed to share that tidbit on with us today on As Cerebral Palsy. And then, yeah, it's going to be an amazing interview. I can't wait. And so without further ado, I'm going, Jason, take it away.
Yeah, my name is Jason. Hey, I'm glad to be on your show, Wynn. But yeah, my name is Jason Pike. I am a writer, author, a combat veteran, disabled veteran, but I'm disabled. I was disabled growing up in life. I done 31 years in the Army. 9 years were overseas, and I've served in 5 different countries and some places I can't even tell you about. But no, it is all public information anyway. I am a retired military officer and went from the bottom as a private on up to lieutenant colonel. And I'm just here to share some stories and inspiration and hope with you, Wim.
Yep. And we're going to cut right to the chase. I mean, you were disabled growing up. You had dyslexia as a child, probably still have it, because writing the book almost killed you, believe it or not. Writing a book almost killed, sounds like me, Jason. Writing a book almost killed my hands. But I'm amazed that writing a book almost killed you. Now, if I understand correctly, you worked with a ghostwriter, but after you worked with a ghostwriter and he came to see you, you landed up in the hospital. Could you explain to my audience how that happened? Why?
Yes, it's the that happened in February of 2021. I was scheduled to die at the Stone Oak Methodist Hospital. Writing the book showed so much vulnerability and it had so many stories. And when I saw that in black and white, I was thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I'm good enough. I had all these fears and these anxieties. They were all coming to me. You know, at the time, I didn't know what was happening. I just went into the emergency room. It was the vulnerability. It was this book that was just taking my soul away from me in a way. And when I went into the emergency room, I put my finger in a pulsometer to check my pulse and my oxygen level, and all hell broke loose in the hospital. Everyone focused on me. They sent me straight to the intensive care unit, and they did tell me, you know what, this is going to be a rough death, and just sign a DNR, a do not resuscitate. We talked about the obituary and the federal cemetery. I figured that this is going to be it. And so it was the book that was putting so much stress on me as far as the vulnerability and showing you these stories that I go into. And but the heparin blood thinner I also had pneumonia. Not only were blood clots throughout my legs and my lungs, but I had pneumonia and it worked. In other words, the heparin started working on me. They didn't have to take me into an operation or put me on a respirator. I was on oxygen, and then the antibiotics started working, and I went from the ICU. I was there 3 days and went into another level of care, a little bit less severe care, and I recuperated, and I was wheelchaired out of that hospital. And then I was back walking, talking, chewing gum at the same time about 3 months later. So everything worked out pretty well. And, you know, they thought, yeah, we saved your life. We saved your life. And they all look at me as a trophy. And I think they probably did save my life. But, yes, and I'm a healthy guy overall. In other words, I still work out and things. But they couldn't believe it. They thought I was a smoker. I said, no, I've never smoked. And but it was really the sitting down and the stressing and all the chemicals that come out of the body during stress just put a number on my body. And that's what happened. Yeah.
And that's unbelievable that writing a book sent you into the hospital because you were so stressed out. Now, I know Army veterans have PTSD from what they saw and what they, those Army recruits who are over there now in Afghanistan and fighting for our country come home with PTSD, but did writing the book have anything to trigger your PTSD or from what you saw, or was it mainly stress from having it on the page?
It was the stress of, it was both. It was having flashbacks. It is when you see your life in black and white written down on paper, it just like, I don't know, it did a number to me. It was, and then also, am I really good enough to put this out there? Is this a good enough story? I compare myself. So I had very, yes, it was everything. It was, once I saw that thing, and it made me shake. It made me cry. It made me laugh a lot, just like the emotions of life. And I felt very scared to put it out there. And I had to come to terms or like build up my bravery, build up my internal bravery. I thought it was one of the most scariest things. I mean, I would rather go to war and get shot at than to see this book. That process did something to me that it's just unexplainable. And I had flashbacks. And also writing it out also helped me deal with it. I am the audio. I am the narrator. So if you don't want to read, you can listen to my voice and listen to the story. And so I did both narration and also, you know, the writing of it. And it did do some cathartic things. There's some things that I got, you know, I got over. Or it doesn't get everything over, but it makes it less and less. Some of the trauma that I had in the military allowed me to deal with some of the situations now because it's a releasing mechanism as well. Yeah.
And now what I understand, and yes, I will buy the book, and yes, people, I will buy the book on audio and listen to it while I'm recovering from back surgery. You guys know that I'm having back surgery coming up. Talk about PTSD, medical PTSD, but that's all in the story in itself. Why? And I will be fine. They're just doing a 5-hour back surgery on me. And I say fine because I will be fine. But I understand, Jason, that your father died right before you got deployed. And yeah. That made a significant impact on your life because you were close to him, correct?
Oh, yeah. I was very close to my father. And grief also was hell for me. I was going to Afghanistan. So my book is dedicated to my father, Dennis Pike. I'm Jason Pike. And when he was passing away, I was at one of those real deep, dark phases in life. And it was not just my father dying. I had been under a false federal investigation of the U.S. Army. And I had been through a whole lot of stress up to the point where my father was going to pass away.
Yeah.
At that same time, that was 2011, at that same time, I'm going to go to war, which is Afghanistan. And so I was... If you haven't dealt with things like bam, 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 like some of these events in life, if they occur quickly, I mean, like a year, 6 months to a year, and you're not dealing with it or you're not processing it, it builds up, it accumulates. And So yes, at that time, my father's dying. And then, oh, by the way, I'm going to war. And shortly, I did go to war right after he died. I did see the funeral. But I was when I went to war, my mental state was really, really low. I mean, he had just died. And I went to the funeral and I was like done. I was praying to get killed in war because I wasn't scared unusually. I was not scared. And it's always good to be scared. But I felt while I was in war, you just go ahead and have the bombs take me out too. And I can go see my father. And they complained about it. It's like, you know what? When these bombs come in, so they called me sir because I was an officer. And when these bombs come in, sir, you need to run to the bunker. Don't walk out like nothing's happening. But see, that was my mental. I could have gotten out from just mental grief from my father, but I didn't do it because I knew my father would want me not to grieve him at home and stay. And he would want me to go to the war. So I did go to the war, and I was, you know, in war, I would rather. I didn't think it was that stressful because my condition was, I wasn't scared because I'd been trained for war. We had trained up to go to Afghanistan. And yes, I saw some people die, but that didn't really affect me. And matter of fact, the bombs and things, that didn't affect me that much because I was thinking of my father most, and I was processing that and the federal investigation that occurred in another country that I went through that was just total bogus, false. And so my mental condition was like, I'm done. I'm just going to, you know, do my time and get out of here. But that's kind of how that was. My PTS, that post-traumatic, that really started from false backstabbing, false federal investigations that occurred before my father's death. And it was not the war, ironically, but having my father, the grief, and then just building up of all that stuff definitely took a number on me. By the time I got out of Afghanistan or the war zone, I was a mental wreck. I was pretty much done. I needed to get out of the army eventually. Yeah.
I mean, going through grief as a normal, as a disabled human without being deployed to Afghanistan, I can't imagine. I mean, I have PTSD from my mom dying. And for those of you that don't know that, it's no public secret, I have post-traumatic stress syndrome from my mom dying and primarily watching her die. And someone said to me this morning, they go, "You don't have your parents, do you?" And I said, "No." And they go, "You don't have family support?" And I said, "No." And I don't have family support, but it's a necessary answer of why. And I will be getting into that in June, but if not sooner. But I can't imagine. Grief is hard enough as a normal human with a disability or as a normal human without a disability. But I can't imagine on top of it going to Afghanistan right after your father died. And I guess you can tell the army, or could you, "My father just died, delay my deployment, please."
Yes. You can't tell them that, but I did go seek a mental health counselor, and they told me they saw my condition, my mental state, and I was going to be a leader in the war, and they saw that I could not put my left foot in front of my right foot. In other words, my mind, my grief.
Yes.
So they could have written a letter, and I almost did it. I almost got a letter from them to exempt me from the war, but I was talking to my uncle, and he says, "You know, your father wouldn't want you to do that." So I had to somehow pick myself up as best as I could and go ahead.
Yeah.
And I told my soldiers that my father died and I'm not right. And they helped me out. And so they were helping me just say, "Hey, we're going to help you. We'll be a team. We're going to be a team. We'll get through this." And I said, yeah. And I was probably one of the worst times in my life. I mean, Afghanistan and seeing bombs and things blowing up things, that wasn't, to me, I was in a different zone. I had so much stress, I just actually went into this focused zone of just getting through it. And I didn't really care too much about if I died or if I didn't die. It really didn't bother me, actually. I was focused on my dad and also other things that occurred in the Army. Yeah. So I was in a different type of mental zone when I was in war.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you have to focus on getting through the day, just getting through the day. If you can get through the day, you're doing perfectly fine. But I can't imagine getting through the day in Afghanistan with no support, because the people of Afghanistan may not speak English. And so you can explain to first of all, they're running for their lives. Second of all, those who you come across, they may not speak English.
Yeah, so I relied, my support network was pretty much my soldiers that were there helping me out. So we had other American soldiers that could speak English, and so I talked to them. And then we did have a Skype system set up to where I could call back to my daughter and my wife back home. Yeah. So I had that, and we did have internet connection, so I could email. So that was a lot of my support. I exercised like crazy. I mean, I exercised outside on the airfield a lot to process things out as well. And but these things take time. I think time heals all wounds, but it does take time. It doesn't all completely go away, but it does get better.
It never goes away.
Yeah.
It never goes away. Time heals, but it never goes away.
Don't go away. Yeah. You just got to manage it. Manage that stress, manage that grief as best as you can.
Yeah,
and then allow it. Allow it to come out. If it's don't tap it down, allow it to come out. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I wish someone told me that. Be as my mom was dying, and as my mom was dying, and then in 2019, I got another blow to my life. I wish someone had told me to let it out when my dad died. I was a stoic rock when my dad died, and I wish someone had now through mental health work and through seeing counsel on myself, now it's like, let it out, let it out, let it out. But I think the older generations were, and I don't know about you, but me personally, I was taught to stuff it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm from the South, in South Carolina.
Yeah,
and we're meant to stuff the way we were taught to stuff it down, and also the military does a good job at making you stuffing it down.
And so I
really was the best of the best of stuffing things down. I could handle everything. I mean, I was rock solid, at least physically and mentally, as far as just getting through Army life for 31 years. But then there's a breaking point, and that was my breaking point, was that federal investigation, the grief of my father, and then going to Afghanistan. It was a 1-2-3 punch. And I was probably at that time in my mid to late 40s. Mm-hmm.
And so let's swing it this way. You had dyslexia and probably still have it. So that's why you needed help writing books.
Oh, yeah. And I recommend anybody, I have dyslexia. I failed first grade English. I was identified by professionals that I'm a very slow processor of information, reading and writing are my worst subjects, but I do have a national best-selling book out there. But no, I had to hire a ghostwriter to get this thing out, because even if I knew how to write, and I don't, but I it's so emotional, like anyone's life, that it, you just need someone that's objective, that's, you know, outside there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I am, for my next novel, I am considering hiring a ghostwriter. And then for my another project I'm working on, I will definitely hire a ghostwriter, but I am giving her 8,000 words to begin with so that she could sculpt it. But my God, I mean, if you have dyslexia, and of course, disabled people can write books, but if you have dyslexia, you might need someone to be objective just because of all the trauma that you went through before writing the book.
Yeah, I know. I'm also got the post-traumatic stress already that's there. When I wrote the book, I had the I had some other conditions, like I had a PBI, a traumatic brain injury. I got knocked in the head. It was just an accidental fall, but it come out as a PBI. But yes, and so you're dealing with all these multiple issues, and it's really good to get someone to help you. A ghostwriter that I hired through Upwork as a website. But yeah, and I got two books out, and I'm working on a third book. I've got that one, that famous one we talked about, is A Soldier Against All Odds. And then I got a veteran self-help guide, which is out of the uniform back into civilian life. And then I'm working on a third one, which will be about toxic leadership, what to do in a wicked workplace, basically. And
Mm-hmm. You might need to come back on and talk about that one, because I know that people are having a hard time going back to work since the pandemic, and it's been interesting how many people I talk to about self-care on a daily basis, not only for me, but self-care for themselves, and people and workplaces do not get along. I mean, for those of you that don't know, I'm still in Arizona, and it's been 3 years, by the way, and I decided not to go back into the education field and to continue being a full-time content creator and being slowly but surely working on a journalism degree, and yeah, but I've decided not to go into the education field, and the only reason why that is because Arizona is not the best at the rankings of education when I'm in the country. And so basically what ends up happening there is a white woman in a wheelchair? I don't think so. And I made a vow with myself that if I was going to go back looking for a job, it would be in education. I would try and stay with content creation or do something completely different, but not in education.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And so I wish you the best of luck on that third book. And how far along are you in that third book?
I would say in about 3 more months we'll have it published on Amazon. But I want to go through this third book on the audio, so the audio may take a little longer. By doing the audio, you get into your emotions, and it brings out more stories. I found that just by accident. Yeah. So I'll do the audio, and we're going to, I think one of the biggest things is just take your time, which is hard for me in the military. We like to be on time, and you know, there's not, when you're creating a product or creating something, you want to, the more time you put into it, the better the product. And just keep that in mind with a book. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that good book. And where can people find you? Where can people get a hold of you if they want to find you or want to contact you?
Yeah, I'm on jasonpike.org, jasonpike.org. And that's the website where you'll see all my social media handles. And that's on jasonpike.org. And my books are going to be on Amazon. And so that's where you can find me. Yeah.
And I found you via Podmatch, which I'll explain to you guys what Podmatch is. It's kind of like Tinder for podcasters. And Podmatch is developed by the fabulous Alex Sanfilippo. And he developed that. So if you're looking for me or Jason, just for those of you on Podmatch, and yes, you do have to sign up for Podmatch, but it's podmatch.com. And so for those of you that want to go through Podmatch, that's perfectly fine, but also go through Jason's website. And I appreciate you guys listening to another fabulous episode of As Sample Halsey, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks to you guys.
Bye-bye.